Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I have my Bible open to that location, and perhaps you have a Bible as well, but if you are in your automobile or washing dishes or doing something else while you're listening to the radio, you probably don't have a Bible open, but you know that we have been studying the book of 1 Corinthians verse by verse. And chapter 3 is divided basically into three sections. The first section addresses the issue of carnal Christians. Paul called the Corinthian Christians carnal. What does that mean? What did he have in mind? That is explained in verses 1 through 9. The second section, verses 10 through 15, is the one that we just finished up on the broadcast yesterday. And that has to do with how to please God with your Christian service. It centers around Paul's observations in regard to church planting, which is what he was involved with, and he likened the work of church planting to, number one, laying the foundation, number two, building upon the foundation, and number three, examining the workmanship, as he assured those who are involved in this work that the day of reckoning is coming, when every man's work shall be tested of what sort it is. God is vitally interested in the quality of our Christian labors. And verses 10 through 15 explain what that is all about. And then we're going to take up the last section, starting perhaps today, and if not tomorrow, where we will understand God's purposes for the church, and that will encourage us to understand God's wisdom all the more. So that's where we're going, moving from the second section into the third section. But before we do that, I think we need to pause and consider some very practical applications that grow out of this second section of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And so we'll look at those in a moment. Thank you for joining me on this Wednesday, June 9. Thank you for helping with the cost. It does cost money to pay the airtime, and we can only continue this ministry by the help of God's people. Well, how to please God with your Christian service? First of all, lay a solid foundation. Don't try to build upon sand. Make sure you're building upon the rock, Christ Jesus. But number two, when it comes to building upon that foundation, make sure that you are building with valuable materials. Gold, silver, precious stones, as opposed to wood, hay, and straw. And these are simply illustrations of building with biblical materials, building with truth, building according to the methods that the Bible implores us to use, or in some cases simply exemplifies for us, as we see how Christ and the apostles carried out their ministry. Because we are coming to the day, every one of us who are involved in the work of the Lord, when our work is going to be evaluated. It's going to be tested upon the return of Jesus Christ. And some are going to be rewarded for their faithfulness in using quality materials in their work for Christ, and others are going to suffer loss, and sometimes those who will suffer loss in this world were esteemed to be the most successful. And yet, in God's estimation, their work is of no value at all. And those whom, in many times, the world does not consider to be all that successful are going to be seen in that last day to be the ones who really were faithful, who really were building with quality materials. They were building carefully. They were building faithfully. In many cases, building slowly. So slowly that Christians sometimes became impatient. It's going too slow. It's not building up fast enough, but just brick upon brick, stone upon stone, building upon the foundation of Christ Jesus, building with the Word of God, building faithfully, and that kind of work will not burn when it is tested by fire. Now, that's what we have learned. How do we apply this to our lives today? Well, it occurs to me that one of the things that we should learn from all of this is what to look for in a church. Most of you live in communities where there are a variety of churches to choose from. I know this broadcast goes out by internet literally all over the world, and some of you are in places where churches are very few and far between, and you don't really have a choice. But here in America, for the most part, again, depending on where you are exactly, but for the most part, people here in America live in communities where churches are plentiful. In some cases, there's one on virtually every corner. In some places, there are more churches than there are grocery stores, to be sure. More churches than gas stations, no doubt. More churches than restaurants, even. Though there's probably more restaurants than grocery stores, and maybe even more than gas stations. But you understand what I'm talking about. Most of us live in places where there are many, many, many churches. And Christians have gotten the idea that selecting a church is very much like selecting a grocery store. I'll try this one for a while, and if I'm not totally satisfied, I'll go try another one for a while, and if I'm not totally satisfied, I'll go to another one. Why not? They're all here. They all have their own emphases. Every grocery store has its own marketing philosophy. Some have higher prices, but they have higher quality, and they have other features that make them more attractive, and some people are willing to pay more. I remember years ago talking to someone who told me where he shopped for groceries. I told him where we shop. Most of the time, it's in Walmart, and sometimes, and more increasingly even, we shop in Aldi's. Those are the low-cost grocery stores, and that's where we do most of our shopping, without apology. I hope I haven't shocked you or offended you, because some of you are shopping snobs. I have a relative who sniffed at the idea of even going to Walmart. She hadn't been to Walmart for who knows how many years. She just didn't go to places like that. Well. And this man I talked to a number of years ago, he confessed to being a food snob. And he told me he shopped at a particular grocery store that was known for its high prices, but I admit it's a very attractive store, and I like to go there occasionally. It used to be that I would buy one particular item there that I couldn't get at the stores where we normally shopped, so I would go to the high price store and buy that one particular item because they were the only ones that had it. But many people, I'm getting away from my subject, but many people view church affiliation, church identity, church participation, very much like they view going to grocery stores. I'll go to this one for a while, and if I don't like it, I'll go to another one, and I'll try out all the different types, all the different flavors, all the different things that are available until I find one that I like the best. And I'll go there as long as I like it, and then I may change another one. I was talking to one of the other pastors of our church the other day, and he mentioned having a conversation recently with a man who was a member of our church probably 25 years ago or so, and he left us and went to another one and left there and went to another one and left. We've lost track of how many churches he's gone to, and this other pastor at our church told me where he's going to church now. Yet another one. I couldn't tell you how many churches he's gone to. He can't just seem to find one that he approves of completely. There's always something wrong with all of them. And he's usually pretty enthusiastic about one for a while, and then he gets sour on it and moves on to another one, and he just, like shopping, like grocery stores, just moves from one to the other, to the other, to the other, and I'm not sure what he's looking for. He was actually with us for a pretty long while, I think maybe 10 or 15 years, probably longer than he's been at any place else. And when he left here, I tried to talk to him about, now, what is it you're looking for? What's the problem? And I couldn't really get to the bottom of it. But he has this philosophy of just looking for something that pleases him. All right, what do we look for in a church? Well, what we've learned in this middle section of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is that what you should be looking for in a church is not size, not excitement, not popularity, not numbers, not the latest trends. None of those things indicate quality, biblical quality, the kind of quality that God approves of. None of those things do. Sometimes quality is found in large churches, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's found in very small churches, and so forth. You're not looking for those things. That is, if you are wise, if you are biblical. What should you be looking for? Serious Bible teaching and a congregation that gives evidence of being dependent upon God, humble before God, and desiring above everything else to please God. It's not that a church like that is totally uninterested in growing, as some people would look at it and think that's what is the case. They would come to the wrong conclusion. Certainly they're interested in growing, but only God's way. Only as God produces growth. Our job, frankly, and this is something that a lot of people don't understand, our job as pastors and church congregations is not to produce growth. Did you know that? That's not our job. Our job is to faithfully minister the Word of God. The pastor's job is to faithfully minister it and see that it is faithfully ministered throughout the church, because, of course, all ministry doesn't take place from the pulpit, but to make sure that in Sunday school classes and in group Bible studies and in outreach ministries and whatever's going on in the church, that it is solidly grounded in God's Word, that the truth is being proclaimed, that error is not being proclaimed, that carefulness is given to make sure that truth is what is most important. And that's what the pastor's responsibility is, and that's, frankly, what the church member's responsibility is. And if God blesses that with growth, as he sometimes does, wonderful. That's certainly what we pray for. That's what we desire. But growth isn't the goal. Faithfulness to God's Word is the goal. Faithfulness to Jesus Christ is the goal. Building upon the foundation of Christ Jesus is the goal. Building with gold, silver, and precious stones is the goal. Making sure we are not using wood, hay, and straw, even if it appears to be more successful to others, if that's what we use. But no, we're not going to do that. And if you want a good church where you can grow, where you can be fed, where your family can prosper and be healthy spiritually, then you better be looking for a church that majors upon preaching the Word of God. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.